He's got a beautiful backswing.
Dad, oh, he got all of that one.
Oh my gosh.
That is amazing.
Layup with an iron into the hazard.
Oh my God, you had to deal with the golf course people too!
Well, that wasn't quite what I meant, you know?
Welcome into another edition of the 73rd Hole. Colby Powell and Taylor Williams with you. This is our first post-apocalyptic episode of the 73rd Hole. Everything is canceled until further notice, except for the 73rd Hole. We will be here every Tuesday, every Wednesday. Myself, Taylor Williams. Taylor, it was a weird weekend. It was a weird golf event where they're like, no, we're gonna play it. No, well, we'll play it with no fans. Well, we're just not going to play it at all. And now it's canceled for who knows how long. It was a weird, weird weekend, and it's only getting weirder by the day. But, I mean, hey, I'm happy to be here. We'll find some fun things to talk about over the next couple months.
Yes, yes, yeah. We're very lucky to still be here and being able to do this show. So we're very privileged, and we're going to bring as much great content during this stretch as we can. The whole week, not just the Players' Championship, whole week in general for all, probably everyone in the world has just been so scary and up and down. And just thoughts and prayers out there to everyone. Hopefully we all do the right smart decisions and are able to stay healthy during this time. But in all honesty, didn't realize how much sports and golf had an impact on our viewership and also, you know, just our interest as much, you know, until it's gone.
Just,
you know,
our day-to-day lives.
Exactly. Essentially almost every minute of the day, and now you're on the pace of, you know, what are we supposed to do?
Yeah, I had no idea what to do with myself this weekend. My wife and I, we're not sick. We're not showing any symptoms or anything, but we don't want to go out. We don't want to get infected. We don't want to infect anyone else. So we just kind of were staying home and self-quarantining ourselves. Saturday, we watched an entire season of Dexter, 12-hour-long episodes.
Holy moly.
Of Dexter on Saturday. On Sunday, we started cleaning closets and vacuuming and doing chores and still had time to watch 5 episodes of Dexter. So if we get full-on quarantine for like a month, I really don't know what I'm going to do in a full-on quarantine for a month.
Yeah, it's almost like you'll have to purposely dirty up your house again just to clean it.
Which shouldn't be too big of a problem. We've got 3 dogs that'll help us with that.
Oh, yeah, so just let them in the house, give them about 3 minutes, and you'll be working for the rest of the day.
Yeah, it's a dog tornado in our house. So anyway, this is our plan for the next couple months, however long it is between now and when the PGA Tour puts a tee in the ground once again. Our plan is to be with you every Tuesday and Friday. On Tuesdays, we're going to give you feature episodes talking about big stories in the game of golf, whether it be slow play, bifurcation, the dialing back of the golf ball. And then on Fridays, we're going to give you player profiles. So like this Friday, we're going to be profiling Jordan Spieth. We're going to be taking a look at Jordan's career, the hot start he got off to, where he's at now, kind of where it all went wrong, taking a look at his swing, at some of the data, and analyzing it, trying to figure out where it's all gone wrong with Spieth. And we'll do something like that for a player every single Friday. So we've got a lot of stuff to get to over the next couple months, and I think we should generate some pretty good stuff, even though there's no actual golf, which I know is a huge bummer for everyone. The Masters being postponed. Postponed's better than canceled, but we'll figure it out. We'll all get through this together one day at a time.
Yes, yeah, and like you mentioned, you know, we've had a lot of things on the table for some time now to want to share with y'all all these big topics and stuff, and unfortunately the virus has given us an opportunity to just get them out there faster, you know, with every tournament going on each week. We had a lot of content going on that way. So now with no golf or sports going on, it gives us a lot more time to be able to get to these bigger topics and some of the player profiles, which I'm really excited in, just to kind of break down exactly where some of these players like Spieth went wrong, or for example, some other players who were lackluster at the start of their career, then ended up turning it around and being really good players.
Yeah, we also have one other idea for something that we're going to try to do, but I don't want to spoil that for everybody yet. I want to make sure that we're going to be able to put that together before we spoil it for you. So we've got some good things coming here on the 73rd hole. If you want to get in touch with us on social media, you can at Colby J. Powell, at T_Williams101 on Twitter, and let us know, what are you going to be doing during these uncertain times? Is your golf course still open? Are you going to be able to play golf? Golf's kind of the one sport where you can be outside. You can be kind of away from other people. You play with your own golf ball, so you're not having to touch anyone. You play basketball, everyone touches the basketball. You can't really sanitize a basketball. But you play golf, you play your own ball, you play your own clubs, nobody touches any of the same stuff. So I think some courses will remain open if they're able to, and I hope that people are still able to play golf while we're dealing with this, because I know I've got what's called the bug. And if I don't get to play golf for a while, I get the itch. It's like a physical itch. I need to go out and hit some golf balls. So I hope that courses around here aren't forced to shut down.
Yeah, you would definitely have a pretty serious issue if you weren't able to golf for a few months' time. But for everyone out there, too, especially, you know, we just got to find that fine line between staying healthy and living our normal lives, you know. So, you know, just make sure out there you're doing everything smart that you can as well, and while you're able to make your day-to-day life as efficient as you can.
Yeah, you and I played last Thursday. Poorly, I might add.
It was nothing to brag about whatsoever. It was very atrocious, to say the least.
Yeah, it was real bad. We were playing bad anyway, and then I broke my 7-iron.
So the local course that we were playing around here, there's one of the holes, and prelude up to this fact. So it was about middle to late of the round when it happened.
And it was the 11th hole.
Okay, the 11th hole. Yep. So the two previous holes are, this is one of probably the three or four hardest, you know, hole stretches on the course too. And both holes previously, Colby had pipe drives just right down the middle of the fairway and proceeded to make bogey on both of them. So he was not particularly the best frame of mind at this point.
No, I was running hot anyway. So then I pipe a drive on 11, and there's a tree right in the middle of the fairway.
Right in the middle of the fairway. I mean, he smokes this ball. One of the best he had hit all day, and it's right plumb behind the son of a buck.
So I was running a little hot anyway. So I tried to figure it out, and I think I determined. So the last time I broke a club was when I was 17. I'm 27 now, so I went 10 years in between breaking clubs. But I went ahead and got my money's worth since I was going to break a club. So I broke the club, and then it was already broken. So I figured at this point, I'm running hot. I figured I might as well get my money's worth. So I take the grip and what's left of the shaft of my 7-iron, I wrap it around a pole, and it wraps back around and catches me in the arm. And the shaft, like, digs into my arm about a quarter of an inch, starts bleeding. I've got a huge flap of skin hanging up. Ended up in a buddy's kitchen that evening. A buddy of mine's a surgeon. Shout out Vic for all your help. Gave me some stitches in his kitchen that evening. So it was... Not my finest moment on the golf course. Needless to say, I didn't get to play the rest of the round, but I did not make you and our other friend leave. I rode around. I was pleasant the rest of the round. I made my bed and I had to lay in it, which I did. So it was... Makes for a good story, I guess.
It definitely makes for a great story. And me and our other buddy that were playing, after we saw his wound, because we were both up on the putting green, and we looked back, and he's got his whole golf towel wrapped around his arm like he amputated it. And so we're like,
what? I was trying to get it to stop bleeding, and the only thing I had was a dirty golf towel, which I'm sure was great to put on an open wound.
And so me and the buddy, you know, we're like, okay, let us see it. How bad is it? And he pops it up, and it was – I mean, it's not the worst – scar you ever seen, but it definitely wasn't pretty. And
it
so
was pretty disgusting.
It was disgusting. It really truly was. And me and the friend, we're urging him, like, man, we gotta go, you know, we need to take you somewhere. And he's like, nah, it'll be all right, he'll be all right, you know. He didn't want to go to the ER or anything, like, which is understandable. There's not a fun experience whatsoever. But so we were able to finish the round out, end up having a really good time. It just, you know, for everything that transpired. And it's good, you know, it pays to know the right people, so you didn't have to go to any ER. You just go over to your friend's house and get it taken care of.
Exactly. And I'll tell you what else. We made phenomenal time the last 7 holes. I mean, we were just booking it.
I mean, we played 7 holes in for a twosome.
40 minutes?
Yeah, I was about to say, it was less than an hour, for sure.
It had to have been.
It was less than an hour. And that's two par fives in there as well, too.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, good stuff. Glad we got to get out and play, and hopefully we'll get out to play sometime again in the future, because my hand, my arm is fine. I should, once the weather gets good, I should be able to get back out on the golf course. So, anyway, one thing we're kind of wanting to talk about today is there's been this big conversation in the game of golf over the last several days. Paige Spiranak, who a lot of people know the name, she's got a podcast now. I've listened to it. It's really good, and she talks about, you know, her life, how she's gotten to where she is in her life. She's a golfer. She's a model. She does a lot of different things. And one thing that she talked about was the exclusivity of golf and basically talking about it being a big boys club that is not very inclusive to everyone. And I kind of wanted to dive in on this topic because I think golf does have the reputation of being kind of stuffy and being kind of elitist. And Taylor, I don't know what you think about that, but golf to me, it is viewed around the world, and especially in America, as a rich white man's game. I think that's how it's viewed. And I think to an extent that is accurate. It's very expensive to play. You know, I'm a member at the Greens here in Oklahoma City. You go out there and it is predominantly middle-aged white men. That is the vast majority of what you're going to see out at the golf course. So I don't know, whenever we look at the game of golf, how does the game of golf become more inclusive so that everyone feels like they are able to play and like they want to play, like they're not some outcast in the game of golf?
It's a fine line because, you know, like you mentioned, playing golf is expensive. It truly is. Running a golf course costs substantial amounts of money. Majority of golf courses actually do lose money every month on revenue. It is pretty surprising.
Which is crazy. I mean, you think about how much it costs to play golf. And it's not like the courses are making a killing on greens fees and stuff, because you got all the equipment, the fertilizer, the water bill, the carts, the everything, the maintenance staff. The bills for a golf course are through the roof.
It truly is ridiculous. And so, like, even our local municipals around the area, I mean, they're going to charge you, I mean, you know, $50 a pop. I mean, not everyone has $50 to go spend 5 hours of their day to use, you know.
And that's in Oklahoma City, where cost of living is pretty low. I mean, $50 for a round of golf is relatively cheap. I was in Colorado a couple weeks ago. We've got some family friends that live up there, and he actually coaches women's high school golf. And I was talking to him about golf and their home course and stuff, and asking him about what it would cost to just go out and play around at the local muni. And he said, you're probably looking at about $75 in Colorado to go out. And that's for one round. And also,
a lot of times with these municipals, you know, unless you have a massive group of buddies, you know, you're going to get paired with someone, you know, like if you go out with
nobody likes,
which no one wants to do. So why would you want to go pay money to do something that doesn't sound fun? And, you know, for example, where we live in Oklahoma, you know, the wind blows all the time, and in the summers it's 115 degrees, in the winter it's 40 degrees, you know. So then, you know, if you don't have an ideal weather day, you know, why would anyone else want to go spend that kind of money to deal with those types of conditions?
Yeah, we really don't live in a great weather state for golf, and really it's mainly the wind. I mean, how many days a year do we play when the wind is under 10 miles an hour?
It's very seldom. And, you know, we actually, you know, we do see quite a bit of Oklahoma players, you know, making their names on the PGA and, you know, the Corn Ferry Tours right now. And I think that a lot of that has to do with being growing up and playing in these adverse conditions, you know, because you can play some days when it's really nice. You're going to play in wind a lot of times, so you learn how to maneuver your ball around, you know.
We're talking 25-mile-an-hour
winds. 25-mile-an-hour winds, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And one of the biggest, most underrated things that people don't think about when the wind blows is putting and how much it influences that, you know, because if you're downhill, downwind, good luck stopping it if you're playing on any type of fast greens. And if you have a crosswind on a putt, then, you know, it's how much does the wind affect it? It has to do with the dying pace at the hole. And it really is a truly feel thing, you know?
Yeah, I liked watching Bryson DeChambeau putt in the wind down in Florida a couple weeks ago. You know, he misses the putt on the low side, and he's like, that's a 1.5% slope.
Oh, my Lord.
Like, yeah, buddy, there's a 25-mile-an-hour wind, you scientist.
I was watching that live when he said, I just busted up laughing. I said, really, this is where the game's gone?
It's a 1.5% slope. That's what he said. It's six-footer. Six-footer right to left. I mean, it's just outside right. And he's talking about it's a 1.5% slope. I think that even, you know, I don't think Bryson's bad for the game of golf, but I think that slow play rules, everything that makes golf difficult, the price, I think that all of that combined is bad for the growth of the game. Because if someone is not already into golf, if they didn't play it growing up, how are you going to get someone in their mid-20s or mid-30s into the game of golf whenever it just seems like it's so difficult to comprehend how to even play, how to read greens, how to do all this other stuff, to the point where I could see how someone who didn't grow up playing golf, it just wouldn't be fun for them to go do it. And that's coming from someone who, I mean, seriously, if I go a week, 2 weeks without playing golf, I start having withdrawals. I need it all the time. But I could totally understand how it wouldn't be fun for somebody who didn't grow up doing it.
Yeah, and the traditional, you know, the way that most of us play golf is absolutely the way you see it. You know, it's really great, and I love places around, you know, such as like a Top Golf or a Flying Tee, or there's even some other types of facilities that are even building around the area, country, that are, you know, that able to make golf, you know, more exciting. You know, you're able to essentially go out to a bar and play right. golf at that point, you know, and that brings a lot more people into it. And, you know, if you're a little bit older and starting, I mean, obviously I started when I was younger, so I probably don't remember it, but you know, that first time that you hit a real flush, solid shot, you know, it truly is hard to beat that feeling. And you get plenty of people who will just continue to chase that feeling continuously, and they can just fall in love with it. And the great thing about the game is you can play it till you're essentially till they put you in the grave.
Yeah, that's one of the main reasons that I love golf is I know I'm going to be able to play it forever, assuming we don't all get quarantined and we're able to get out to the golf course. But like you said, whenever you start out and you hit that first good one. So my wife started playing golf 2 summers ago, I think, and she hadn't gotten to get a ton of rounds in, but she's slowly gotten a little bit better. And whenever she was first playing, I was really worried that she wasn't going to stick with it because the good shots were so few and far between. The good shot to bad shot ratio was so distorted. She was hitting so many more bad shots than good shots, but she has stuck with it a little bit. And now it's to the point where it's kind of 50-50 good shots and bad shots. And that makes it fun enough for her to keep coming back and to think, okay, I've improved this much. Now I just need to keep improving a little bit to where I'm hitting 75% good shots, 25% bad shots. And I wish I could do that. Obviously, when I'm talking relative to her game. We played a couple weekends ago. She shot 105. So relative to her game, a good shot might be pulling out her 6-iron and hitting it straight and hitting it 110 yards. And even if she doesn't get it to the green, you know, it was a good straight shot. But just trying to have fun without feeling like she has to accomplish something or make a par or something like that. Trying to find a way for golf to be fun. And like you said, Topgolf is a big one of those. We've got a Topgolf here in Oklahoma City. It's always packed. And my wife used to go up there and stuff. Whenever we would go up there, she would just kind of hit for fun. And she enjoyed it. And now she likes to play golf. So I think places like Topgolf are great. And I would say this, obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably a golfer, but try to get somebody in your life who you want to get on the golf course, get them out to Topgolf and let them have fun and hit some golf balls and then take them to the golf course and introduce them to, okay, well, if your ball crossed the red line here, then you need to drop here. And well, you know, you really are not supposed to ground your club in the bunker and all these other things that make golf hard for people who are just getting into it.
Yeah. The complexity of the rules, we can go back and go into that just a little bit more. You know, that has another thing to go about it. And, you know, we mentioned earlier how nice it is, you know, when you hit that real flush shot and how great it feels. But on the contrary, you know, whenever you hit a horrible shot, you know, you get mad at yourself and say, you know, why did I do that? I need to fix that and not do that again. And, you know, Tiger Woods is the best golfer of all time. He hits bad shots all the time. I mean, we played the reel last week of him cussing all the time, you know. So it doesn't really matter how good you are. You're going to hit those bad shots. But you always – you chase the feeling of not hitting them.
Tiger Woods sucked. God damn it. I don't think he's pleased.
I almost turned it down before Vern came in. We gotta leave Vern.
You gotta leave Vern in there. True legend.
You gotta leave Vern up. I don't think he's pleased. Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, golfers are hard on themselves. I want to talk a little bit more about the price of golf. A set of golf clubs.
Oh boy.
I mean, to get started in the game, and this is, I've got a guy at church who I talk to all the time. He knows I play a ton of golf. Good friend. He doesn't want to even start playing golf. And a big part of the reason is he's like, man, I don't have clubs and I don't have a spare $700 laying around. So I feel like that is, to me, cost is the number one hurdle of growing the game.
It is. And golf clubs, you know, they're getting to a point with all the technology and stuff they're using. They're truly expensive to make. So it's hard to sell something cheap whenever you can't make it cheap. But, you know, you like just like you mentioned it, you know, your buddy said $700. I mean, that's just for a couple clubs. I mean, that's not going to get you, right. You know, the full. I mean, if you want something that's halfway decently, you know, if
you want the good new technology.
Yeah, if you're just getting started in the game, you know, a little starter set where they have all the clubs already in a bag for you for a couple $100, it is perfect. It's perfect for you. That way you can kind of get in and feel for it. But once you get to be fairly established in the game, you know, a lot of people talk about getting fit, and getting fit is one of the best things you could do for your game if you haven't. But a lot of times, if you get perfectly fit into what exactly you need is best for your game, I mean, you might spend $2,000, if not more.
Yeah, it's really expensive to get fitted for golf clubs and get good equipment, good technology, and that's something that you really need to be successful. So here's what we want you to do. We want you to let us know either A, how did you get started in the game of golf, or B, what's preventing you from getting started in the game of golf? I don't think we'll get as many of those because this is a golf podcast, so most of our listeners are probably into the game of golf. But I want to know, did you start as a kid? Did you start as an adult? If you did, who got you into it? It's like our buddy that we played with last week. His name's Matt. he didn't really get started in golf until we were in college. Me and a few of our other buddies played golf, and he wanted to come play with us, and he started playing more and more. Whenever we first started, he was shooting about 100. And then he got to the point last summer, a couple summers ago, out here at the local Muni, I think he shot 76 out there one day. I think that's his best round. Don't hold me to that. He might listen and tell me, no, I shot 74 one day. I think his best round is a 76. So he was able to get better, but had we not gotten him out there, he never would have realized how much he loves golf, and now he tries to play every week as well. So hit us up on Twitter, at Colby J. Powell, at T_Williams101, and let us know how you got into the game of golf, how old you were, who got you into it, things of that nature. Before we move on to some more weird stuff going on in the game of golf, anything else you want to get to on the elitist part of golf and trying to get more people involved in the game?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel like the easier you can make golf for yourself, the better, and just try to have as much fun as you can, you know, whether it be like Top Golf type facilities like we mentioned earlier, whether it be just going out to the driving range, putting green, trying to get used to it. And I would advise, because a lot of people have this problem too, where a lot of golf courses around now are truly tough and they're hard to play, know, a lot of native areas around the fairways. So, you know, even if you have to drive a little bit out of your way to find an easier course, and you know, where you can just kind of hit it everywhere and you'll definitely be able to hit a shot after that, that's definitely where I would start. You know, you don't want to go out your first time playing you know, extremely difficult course, and definitely tee it forward as well. Do not play too long, of course, because that'll get you away from it as well.
The first year that my wife played golf, she teed off from the back of the fairway on par fours and par fives for the first year that she played, because she just did not hit it well enough and far enough to be able to play from the tee box. It was making it miserable to where if she would play a hole from the tee box, she would have to hit like four or five really perfectly struck shots in a row to get to the green. And that's not fun, because she's not even hitting four or five perfectly struck shots in a row. So it's taking her 7-8 shots to get to the green. Now she's to the point where she's playing all the holes from the tee boxes, and she can get on the green on a lot of holes in three shots, which makes the game more fun. But don't be afraid to go tee it up in the back of the fairway. I promise no one's judging you. I know if I'm out there, I'm not judging you for teeing it forward.
And if they are, forget them.
Screw them. With them. Yeah. I mean, just it doesn't matter. Yeah, like you said, if they are judging you, their opinion doesn't matter.
Don't let the closest tee marker be your limit on how close you can start. If you need to start 50 yards away from the green, go ahead for it. Just start as close as you can, and then just progressively work your way back until you get to where you're at a comfortable fit. Because, you know, if you're playing a course that's too long, that will definitely diminish your fun for the game very fast.
Yeah, golf is supposed to be fun. So have fun. Just have fun. Okay, let's get on to some things that really aren't that fun. So Augusta National, we all know the Masters is not taking place. It just came out not too long ago. This was within the last half hour. Augusta National, the entire club, to members and everybody, will be shut down by the end of the week due to coronavirus. So it's not just the Masters. It's the entire club. I mean, Augusta National shut down in March and April. It's sad, man. That place, when they overseed it every spring and they get it ready for the Masters, it's truly like paradise.
It's one of the most beautiful places in the world.
I mean, it's a little piece of property that turns into heaven on earth for a couple of months a year, and the whole place is closed. It's sad, man. I just feel, and I've never been to Augusta. I want to. It's on my bucket list, but I just feel like it's just a part of golf. A part of the soul of golf resides in Augusta, Georgia. And with it being shut down, I don't know what to think, man.
It just shows where the world is in the state. And, you know, hopefully we can get out of this funk sooner rather than later, because it's no fun, especially for those that have, unfortunately, you know, been able to contract this illness.
Yeah, so last week at the Players, I didn't even know this until you and I were talking a little bit before we came on the air. I guess everybody, all the way from Hideki's 63 to Patton Kizzire's 79, everybody got the same check?
Same check, yes, I believe. And I heard, I'm not sure, I don't want to say the exact number, but a few of the players had already come out and said they're going to donate their checks to charity.
That's
so
cool.
So that's very cool. Good. I'm happy that they're doing that.
The big names should do that. The smaller names that need the check, keep the check.
There's very few small names that got in this tournament.
Yeah, that's true. There's not a lot of small names. I mean, even Patton Kizzire, multi-time tour winner, trying to look through here and see. Yeah. Roger Sloan? I mean...
I mean, you might find a couple. I mean, if 95% of the people give some money and you're not, you know, I mean, it's not going to come out saying that you didn't do it, but it's like, come on, man.
Right. Yeah, exactly. No doubt. So, yeah, but I mean, Hideki fires 9-under and doesn't matter. It's like goes out and has this great round, rams it in for eagle on Thursday. So, I don't know what we're supposed to do over the next several months. I'll really be surprised if we see another tour event played. Certainly before May. I think it's possible that we're into June before we see another event, and it really is going to throw a wrench in the tire of the PGA Tour season. I really wonder, though, how many of these events they're able to make up. Like, obviously, they're going to try to make up the majors and play all the majors if they can. Who knows what's in store for the Olympics? Obviously, the Ryder Cup will go on if the Ryder Cup can. But I think that we could be heading for a point, Taylor, not just with golf, but with all sports reconvening and football season starting, where we could go from no sports at all and everyone is bored out of their mind to 7 days a week. There is a sporting event on that everyone cares about. The NBA, MLB, NFL, PGA are all overlapping. We're having major championships played in the fall. We're flipping back and forth from NFL games on Sunday to major championship Sunday. I really think, look, we're going to have to weather the storm here while everything is shut down, and then we could find ourselves in a sports paradise whenever everything starts going at the same time. So I'm just trying to look for silver linings here. The silver lining could be in the middle of October whenever we're watching the Ryder Cup and an NFL game and an MLB game and whatever else is going on in the world of sports that's getting made up all at the same time.
It would be true overload. We already have, you know, probably 3 or 4 TVs at our place right now. Probably would have to invest in a couple more and get them all. That way we could have all of our channels watching, because that would truly be insane.
Yeah, I've been trying to talk my wife into turning this room of my house that we're actually sitting in right now. We've got kind of a game room off here, off the back with a ping pong table, and I play Xbox in here and stuff. I've been trying to talk my wife for years. We moved in this house 4 years ago. I've been trying to talk her into letting me put on this east wall here that y'all can't see. A big TV in the middle and then 2 TVs on either side, so that during football season, I can sit in here and I can have several games up at once. And quite frankly, I'd really like more than 3 TVs. I'd like 5 or 7. So whenever those noon NFL games are going, I can get them all going at the same time. And the PGA Tour events, Ryder Cup, whatever's on at the same time, have it all on at once. This might be the year where I can talk her into it, because there's going to be so much going on. Once sports start back up, it really is going to be sport overload, and that's what I'm looking forward to. I have found it interesting. The NFL is just going on business as usual, which I think can either come off A, tone deaf, that they're not shutting else down like everybody else is, or B, it's kind of nice just being able to see something on my timeline that's not coronavirus and that's not end of the world. It's weird reading a tweet about people in California not being able to go outside their houses unless they're heading to an essential job. And then right below that, it's like DeAndre Hopkins was traded to the Cardinals. It's so weird having that be the only thing going on right now in the sports world, because every other tweet on my timeline today is something happened in the NFL, the world is ending. Something happened in the NFL, the world is ending. I guess this is just the new normal that we live in.
Well, you know, we were talking about the before the show we started. You know, for me and the missus, we're currently in the process of moving right now. So we were inside our house. We were working, obviously packing everything. So, but we were mainly inside, and I got to sitting down and I was thinking, you may have a couple hours during the day on a weekend typically where you're able to, you know, throw in like a show, you watch a Netflix show or something like that. But majority of the time, you know, you're taken out from, you know, 11 o'clock to 6 o'clock. You're watching the golf every weekend. You know, normally there's an NBA game in the evenings. You know, a lot of times you'd be watching that. So that can take up your whole TV schedule. And so during this time, not having anything really to watch is kind of weird. You got to kind of come up with your own shows. You've seen a lot of the stars, you know, such as NBA players and some, you know, just any athlete who's not playing, tweeting out, you know, what are some good shows to watch? What are good video games to play? You know, things like that. Ways to just pass the time, because, you know, we as not just golf fans, but sports fans have passed a lot of our time on with sports. And with it being gone, It's it kind of allows us to open up our minds and kind of be creative, like our co-host here getting done and cleaning his house this weekend.
Yeah, exactly. I've got big plans for my house. That's my wife. She really is a good follow on social media because she tweets about all of my nonsense, and there is consistent nonsense with me, you know, cleaning the house. I really am lost. She said that I'm broken. I'm an appliance that is broken or needs new batteries or something because I don't know what to do with myself. Like I said, we watched 12 episodes of Dexter on Saturday. We were watching, the first four seasons of Dexter took us, I don't know, months to get through because we'd watch maybe two episodes a week because there'd be NBA games on and college basketball games on. I do my Locked On Pokes podcast, so I was watching all the OSU basketball games on. The PGA Tour stuff on the weekends. You know, I'm watching tour events all day Saturday and Sunday, and then all of a sudden, it's just all gone, and we sat there for 12 hours and watched Dexter. And it was weird. Like, for one day, it was kind of nice and kind of cool, but then after doing it the one day, we were both like, oh, this is awful. We have to do something. So then yesterday we did some chores and walked the dogs and all that good stuff. But this is the new normal. So I would just say everyone be safe. Stay home if you can stay home. Do what you need to do and just be safe and be healthy. And just know, hey, we're going to be here. We'll be back Friday with Jordan Spieth profile. I'm looking forward to that because the career of Jordan Spieth is as fascinating to me as any player currently on the tour, obviously not named Tiger Woods, with the way it started and where it's gotten to now. I'm really looking forward to Friday's show.
It's going to be great. We have a lot of great content. And I know from two other Tiger fans sitting right here, and I don't know if anyone else across the platform felt the same way, but back in 2015, 2016, where we were hearing comparisons from Spieth to Tiger, it made my blood boil so bad. Oh boy,
talking about it right now, it upsets me.
Well, right now it's almost just a joke. He's 56th ranked player in the world. Tiger
that high,
Tiger,
really?
That's what it seems like.
Yeah, it seems like 56 would be way too high. But yeah, we will be back on Friday. Remember, hit us up on Twitter at Colby J. Powell, at @T_Williams101. Let us know how you got into the game of golf. We want to hear your stories. All the best ones we will read right here on the podcast. So glad everyone was with us on this Tuesday. Again, we're back Friday with the Jordan Spieth profile. If there's a specific player you want us to profile, we've got some in mind that we want to get to. If there's a specific player that you want us to profile, let us know. If we get enough suggestions, maybe we'll do more than one player profile a week, because I think those are going to be really fun talking about individual players and taking a deep dive into their games, because when the tour's going, that's just not something you really have time to do. So I'm looking forward to that. Thanks everybody for being with us. We're back on Friday with Jordan Spieth's player profile on another episode of the 73rd Hole.